Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, travelers from across the galaxy. I am Caitlin.
I am Kelsey.
And this is Rebels Remembered. We are discussing Season 2, Episode 15, The Call. This aired on February 10th, 2016. Synopsis reads, while on a mission to find fuel, the crew tries to protect space creatures from the Techno-Union asteroid mining operation, that's a mouthful, which threatens their lives. This one was written by Bill Wolkoff, directed by Mel Ziwer. And on my notes, I just have face wells with a smiley face at the very beginning of this.
I think we've seen Bill Wolkoff write several other episodes. The only one I can think of on the top of my head is this one in Future of the Force. So, some trivia here that we've pulled from StarWars.com. Kanan's modified Stormtrooper helmet now has a stylized Lothcat face on the front of it, thanks to Sabine. So we get some more showing of her creativity as an artist, but also I just think it's really cute.
I love how Kanan was kind of like not amused at all. Like, really? I thought you were just gonna borrow it or something.
She did borrow it, but she just, yeah, she painted on it. In the script, the lead Purrgil, we're going to be saying the word Purrgil a lot. We have this idea to, like, do a counter of it every time we say it, but...
Or space wells.
Or just the term space wells, which is sort of known to Star Wars Rebels fans, to use that term. So in the script, the lead Purrgil was referred to as the Purrgil King. So even though he's never, huh. He or she, well, I guess it's he, was never mentioned in the show. It's the big purple one that Ezra connects with and rides on. I think that's the huge one. It's sort of like King Jellyfish, but it's a Purrgil. Also, speaking of Purrgils, the correct plural saying of that is Purrgil, not Purrgils with an S.
Oh, so it's kind of like moose?
Yeah, I think at one point Hera does say it with an S, but there was a lot going on at the time, so yeah.
All right, so just putting this out there before we go into this, this is not one of our favorite episodes. I know in the Rebels community, and really in anything, the internet, everybody has their own opinions. There's some people that love the Purrgil. I'm just going to say, when this episode first aired, mind you, I was one of those Rebels fans going on Tumblr and everything and seeing what people were saying on the internet. So many hate of the Purrgil in this episode.
In the world, that the branding that is Star Wars, anytime you try to combine science with sort of some sort of biological component, for some reason all the nerds just lose their minds and you have one that go, that can't happen, or no, that can't happen, and trying to like change maybe something that's canonically not canon is like, you know, like full stop for a lot of Star Wars fans.
Yeah, but also you have to remember, it's a big galaxy. Why not test the waters, space well pun there, or Purrgil pun mm-hmm. there, and try, you know, different creatures. So I feel like, I don't hate the Purrgil. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't hate them. They're interesting. I just feel like this episode in particular, the plot didn't really grab me. It wasn't really their fault. I feel like all the hate got put on the wells. Like, it was just, I didn't really care for the episode. Now there are some other fans that love this episode. So, but just remember, we're all entitled to our own opinions. I know the world and the internet doesn't think that, but everybody has their own opinion, so.
I did feel like this was the very, like, not a very special episode, but definitely an environmentalist component to it. I felt that
as
well.
Yeah, I did too.
So we have the Ghost Crews on a mission to locate fuel for the Rebellion, and Intel has led the team to an Imperial refinery in deep space. Here's where I got confused. Low on fuel and power, they need to find it fast. It never explains why they were out of power.
It doesn't?
Mm-mm. It just starts, and they're kind of floating, and they're, like, really cold because they have no power. They're just kind of floating through space. I don't know if that's because they were also benefiting from the Rebel supply for their ship as well.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is, but it was just kind of weird that how we just start and they're just out of fuel.
It makes me wonder if they sent him to this tour directory and they just happen to start losing fuel. But that also doesn't make sense, because knowing Hera, she would make sure that the ghost
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know. It's like any sort of organized unit, it's almost like when you do inventory for a company or for a factory or whatever, you don't go get your stuff right when you really, when you run out. It's when you're running out that you go and... So, I mean, they do say they were low on fuel, but obviously they're kind of floating. So I'm like, are you low or are you just completely out here? I don't know.
Yeah, that was... It was probably done to raise the stakes of this fuel supply, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It's kind of odd that they would just have no power. Not, they have power, but it's, like, limited.
Something like Hera's, like, wanting to conserve the power, I also think that's maybe play here, too. But it was just kind of odd that it starts like that.
I also find it interesting that, like, everybody's cold, and every now and then you'll occasionally see breath, which I found interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not used to seeing that, really, in... We've been on Ice Worlds before, but as far as, like, seeing it animated, it's kind of
in the different. Ghost, it's kind of odd.
Yeah, the ghost, especially, is kind of odd. So, suddenly, Ezra hears something, a noise, and it's getting louder. And, of course, no one else hears it.
But the audience can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as an audience member, you hear that little, like, well noises or whatever the noises they're making. Mm-hmm. Like,
but also, again, we have to remember that as the audience member, we're sort of viewing this through Ezra.
Yep.
So, maybe that's why the audience could hear it. And just let us know that something's about to happen. Just as Sabine is about to check the scanners, they see it. A flock of giant creatures, and they're approaching the ghost. Hera identifies them as Purgle and prepares to fire to drive them back. But Kanan stops her. They can't waste power on these animals. So we learn a little bit about Hera. Like, it doesn't really go very deep into it, but there is some little pieces that she knows what these creatures are.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Kanan telling her, like, hey, we probably need to, like, do what you started with and conserve energy and not fire at these creatures.
Yeah.
Ezra encourages Hera to fly with them instead of against. Hera acquiesces and the animals seem to calm, though she claims them to be a big lumbering menace.
Yes, I love this instance where it's kind of interesting. You have Ezra kind of giving, which he's done before with the ghost crew, kind of like stepping up and like, hey, this is an idea. We should do this. And it turns out he's right because he has that connection with creatures. I feel like probably more so than Kanan. Yeah, she refers to it as a menace. And again, at this point, we still don't know. We obviously can tell there's some bitterness there between Hera and these creatures. But we still haven't yet to hear why yet. And also love the part when they do decide to fly with them. And Kanan has that line, like, it's not the strangest thing we've ever done.
Yeah, because they have done other weird, strange things. Like, the episode before this, going to, through, Star Cluster. Yeah. So, there are more greater menaces at hand. Suddenly, two TIE fighters close in, blasting the ghost. Immediately, I thought these were Imperial
of some sort.
They've been modified, and they are Imperial, but they still want to fight. These fighters are from the Mining Guild. Despite problems with power, Kanan and Ezra are able to blast them. Sabine then tracks the origin of them, of the TIEs, and it's the same direction that Purgil are headed. Okay. I watched Rebels Recon, and I know that these specific TIE fighters, Henry Gilroy in that Rebels Recon episode on StarWars.com said that these TIEs are actually terrible at combat, in particular, because their stabilizers are very weak, so it's almost like they're not very aerodynamic as far as flying. Like, it's almost like, as we see later, when you get one hit, it's just like kind of spinning out of control. Then they blow up. Now they also mentioned that the Mining Guild is mentioned once or a couple times. I don't know how many times it's mentioned in Empire Strikes Back.
So you're part of the Mining Guild then?
No, not actually. Our operation is small enough not to be noticed. Which is advantageous for everybody, since our customers are anxious to avoid attracting attention to themselves.
But they say that these are corporate guilds.
Your little sticky notes.
Sorry. These are corporate guilds who manage resources.
But is it interesting that you think it's the Empire, but instead it's a very special episode, guys. We're gonna go against the guys trying to destroy the whales. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that way, but that's basically kind of where it does
give me a Captain Planet feel. I did kind of have that feeling throughout the episode that, oh, this is an environmentalist episode, which is nice, you know, save the whales. But so they decide to follow the creatures, though Hera is still less than enthusiastic. And so she gets into some backstory here. She tells Ezra that when she was young, she heard stories that Pergil were the inspiration for light speed travel. But in reality, she's found that they're clumsy beasts blocking hyperspace lanes and causing accidents and death, including those of her friends. I think that was sort of a big reveal that I wish they had touched on more. It was, I think some other reviewers had mentioned this back in the day that I looked up some articles. It's like she clearly had friends before the ghost crew.
Oh, yeah.
They're not named. We don't really know much about them. It's almost like, oh, well, we need a reason for her to be so against these purple and to be kind of like not on Ezra's side and as far as like protecting them. So,
well, she also mentions that their hyperspace is very dangerous. Like, I feel like a lot of people forget that because you just hit a button and you go in last week. Obviously, it's very dangerous, especially when you're going against these creatures that are also, and they're gigantic.
Yeah.
So, traveling in through hyperspace or whatever. But she also kind of touched on this in the previous episode with Legends of the Lasat about this is why I think they jump to light speed, and that's when they are confronted with that star cluster, and she says something like, this is why it's dangerous to travel through unknown space, because you never know what you're going to run into.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Purgles fall into that category.
Yeah, and then I think that in the Rebels Recon, you can get into the specifics of what the difference is between the unknown regions and wild space. Like, there is a difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, also the fact that if you're going through hyperspace and there's something that you hit mid-hyperspace, you're pretty much gone.
Also, it's that gigantic.
Yeah, especially if it's that big. And
yeah.
I mean, we don't know how physics work in Star Wars, right? It could be completely different, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, why didn't they explode when they hit that star cluster? Like, you think that would happen, but so we can't assume that physics works the same, but I would assume it would be like, what is it, one of Newton's motions laws about you hit something going really fast, and you hit a wall, and then mm-hmm. the motion, like, reverbs through. I don't know. I'm being a physics nerd now. I don't know anything about physics.
I do think it's interesting that Ezra kind of is like, well, maybe they don't realize they're doing it. Which is true. They're animals. They're creatures.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like the way Hera, which no fault of her own, because the death of her friends, that's pretty heavy.
Right.
But also, she's not really recognizing that they didn't just go out of their way to block these. Yeah. They're just doing what they're doing, you know?
They're just floating through space, you know, living their lives. So, the Pergil then lead them to a planetoid, home to a massive energy source, the refinery that they were seeking. Very convenient.
Yep, that's convenient.
But also, what's interesting about this episode is, like, they're seeking fuel, but also, I guess we'll get into it, the gas that we see that's sort of in the atmosphere is called Clauzon 36.
What?
And it is responsible for fueling hyperdrive.
Oh, interesting.
So this is the first time that we've seen it in any canon, any Star Wars canon, the first time we've seen any sort of fuel for hyperdrive is in this episode. But it's not named, I don't think. It might be. I don't know.
So where did you get that? Where did you pull that from?
This was on Wikipedia. I was literally on the episode. I was like, Clauzon 36. I can go down this rabbit hole for a little bit. but obviously, if it's in the air, it's a gas, so you can't really breathe it in. Ergo, why everyone's got,
like, respirators and, like, masks and stuff.
But we also see the Pergil, like, eat some of the gas. So I'm wondering if that's the end of the episode. Will they shoot?
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, so is the gas becoming gas at the end? Like, I don't know. But anyway,
let's put it this in layman's terms. Basically, you're saying they're farting at the end to take off.
That's what I thought. I could be completely wrong, but that's what it looks like. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. Well, I'm jumping the gun, so to speak, on this. But, yeah, the gas that you see, the green kind of fuel color, I think is hyperdrive fuel. But the fuel that they want is the one that they're mining, I assume. I'm not sure. That's where I got confused.
I got lost,
Are they mining the fuel for a ship, or are they mining the Clauzon 36 that's in the air?
It's possible they're doing both.
Okay. That's where I got
confused. Yeah, I was confused, too, on all the different types of fuel. I'm like, what are we here for again? I don't remember.
Yeah. So Ezra begins to wonder why the creatures came all this way, while Hera docks on a small asteroid and plans to attack. I think in this episode, it's very clear that Ezra, I think he innately, like, obviously has an ability. Like, I don't know if it's, like, Dave Filoni said he didn't want it to be, like, a superpower.
Yeah.
But having this ability to connect. But also just him as a person being very empathetic and understanding. Like, it doesn't matter who it is, person or creature. So he's, like, very trying to get in the mindset of, okay, why did they come here? You know, what's going on with them?
And, which is a long way from him throwing that loaf cat that was trying to attack him in, like, episode seven or something.
Very, very different.
What I find so interesting is this next part. So their plan is to torch the gas, create a diversion, and take all the fuel. So I guess the fuel raptor is the ones in little canisters. Mm-hmm. And the entire time they're talking about this plan, Ezra's got his goggles up and he's looking and he's just watching these beautiful creatures float by. I actually tuned everyone out in this moment. And then Hera says, Ezra, were you listening? He goes, oh, sorry. And I'm like, I wasn't listening either. I totally just went
somewhere else.
I did. I was just like, oh, Wells. And then after, I was like, I don't know if I just got pulled into the Wells. I don't know if it's me so or what. Majestic. But after that, I was like, wait, what are we doing? What's the plan?
Yeah. So they dive in and out of the gas. The security forces of the mining guild blast them. I believe that's Ezra's concerned. Is that what it means?
Yeah, Ezra, he starts to sense that there's a connection between the animals and the gas. But everybody's kind of shutting him down. Like, this whole... What I find so funny, in this whole episode, Ezra's like, the pergol. And Hera's just like, shut up! We gotta get this fuel! Like, she doesn't say shut up, but like...
I think one moment she does say, oh, tell me it's not the pergol again. Like, why are you still on this? You know, we have a clear mission, this is why we're here. We're not here to help the pergol. Of course, she's got her own reasons. Why.
Right.
But yeah, with no way down, Sabine, Chopper, I thought this part was really cool.
This part was cool. This part was dope.
Sabine, Chopper, Kanan, and Ezra jump. On the way, a pergo pulls up next to Ezra, eyeing him curiously. The Padawan reaches out and touches the great beast.
Also, the way that it's animated, like, there is some, as much as we don't like this episode, there's a lot of good animation in this.
Yeah, there is.
Like, this part and just the sound as they're, like, falling. I don't know.
And really just, cool. Like, the animation of seeing, like, the motion lines of, like, them going through, like, I guess the clouds, the gas, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. So, there is a bumpy landing. Kanan does this really cool move where I've seen this move before, but it's been a long time, so I can't really remember other times this happened with other Jedi, but, like, he does, like, a force... He
like pushes with a force to kind of like stop himself. Yeah.
Like puts on some like Jedi brakes. But Ezra misses the landing platform and has to be saved by Kanan, who uses the force to pull him back up. But because of this, they are spotted. Mm-hmm. And they are spotted by the mining guild. So Kanan tells Sabine to toss her detonators and torch the gas. Ezra stops her because of the pergol. The gas and the pergol are connected. If they blow up the gas, they will hurt the animals. They must figure out another way.
Okay, I'm sorry, but at this point, I just was not with Ezra on this one at all.
Yeah, as an audience member, it's kind of difficult.
As much as I love animals, like, that's not why we're here. Like, I was more like, we're here to get the fuel and get out. Why are we doing this?
And plus... I guess it's from an audience perspective, I'm not assuming these Purgle have any intelligence behind them, although they're dumb, but he's trying to think of, oh, there must be a reason why they're here. It's like, they could just be floating through space doing their thing. Like, if they get hurt, they're in the way, you know? Which is not very empathetic or Jedi way of thinking, but...
Yeah, and then they have this kind of banter with, actually... while they're doing this, they get spotted, and then there's this part where Ezra, like, pushes off. Like they have a kind of a firefight with the lightning gun. He just shoves the guy off that's shooting at him. And then right after that, there's a pause. And Kane's like, okay, explain what's happening. But I just found that part humorous.
Yeah.
He just shoved a guy off to his desk. But it's fine, you know. And he explains that you can't hurt the purple, you know. Which, again, I just wasn't with him on this. And I think they contact Hera and she's like, what are you doing? And then Sabine's like, the pergol changed the plan. She's like, not the pergol again. Why? What are we doing?
Take a drink every time they say pergol.
That would be a dangerous game to play.
That would be dangerous.
I'm trying not to say Space Wolves as much, because I feel like I would get a lot of hate on the internet for that. Like, that's not what they're technically called. Which, whatever.
They look like whales and they're in space. Well, actually, they typically look like, what, they look like whale octopi.
Octopuses?
I don't know what the grammar is. They look like have a whale and have an octopus, and they're in space, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the ghost docks, more security forces arrive. Ezra is then blasted over the ledge and falls into the abyss. More ties are launched to take on the ghosts, and Kanan frantically calls out for his apprentice. I did like the animation with Kanan using the lightsaber to deflect
some blast cool.
with the little off-cat helmet. That was really cool. And just some of the way this animation is lit is really interesting in a way that I don't think I've ever this particular show seen before, because you got the gas and you've got like how does light reflect in that kind of environment and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, they are on platforms, but pretty much this whole episode takes place, like, in space. Mm-hmm. Like, through the atmosphere.
Yeah. So, Ezra is alive. He is on top of a pergil, but he cannot breathe in the gas. So, I believe his helmet falls off impact. I will say, the way Taylor did, like, some of the gasping noises in this part, I was feeling, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? Like, it definitely, like, raised the stakes, like, for me as an audience member, going, oh, I can't remember what's gonna happen? I was gonna get his helmet back on, you know? So that was a good ADR, I guess, by Taylor Gray. Through the Force, he then connects with the creature. So this is the King Pergil, I believe. He understands why they're here. He sees a great vision in its eye.
This part is where I remember I was watching this for the first time, and I was like, oh god, Ezra's suffocating to death. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh lord. And then the part when he looks at the well and like his eye almost looked like when you go through light speed, it's that thing, like whatever that is. I'm like, oh, what is happening? This is getting weird.
Yeah.
I was like, last episode was weird. This is really weird. Mm-hmm. Like, this is very strange. What's happening?
It's interesting, like, there's so much intelligence behind a creature to look at someone, connect, and, like, do basically a Vulcan mind meld and tell you we have this whole purpose of why we're here, and, yeah, very strange.
Yeah, very strange, like, communicating. Like,
I mean...
We talked about connection to animals through the Force. I feel like this is one of the first times where it's like, you know, you can actually, like, when they weren't joking when they said communicate. They literally had a full-blown conversation, apparently. To each other.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen him connect, but not like this. Not in this way where it's like, physically you can see it, their eyes turning blue, then he suddenly just knows why they're there, like, mm-hmm. Never really seen that with any other animal he's
And I don't think he says what happened in that moment until the end of the episode. Where he's like, oh, this is just a stop for them. They're here to refuel, just like we are, so they can continue onward. So, even the audience is like, what did he learn from this well? I mean, mm-hmm. Pergil, excuse me.
So Ezra says, let me help you. As if in agreement, the Pergil returns Ezra's helmet to him.
Sorry, this part. Above there, they get surrounded and outmatched by these guys. Like, which I'm sorry, I was not feeling these guys. Like, you're just in the way, get out of the way. and Kanan has that great line of, can't believe we're gonna lose this guy.
So this guy, I don't know his species, but, he has a name. He's on Wikipedia, but he's only, in this one episode.
Well, he dies in this episode,
yeah,
right?
Suddenly over the calm, Ezra interrupts, don't worry, we'll be right there. Standing atop a Pergil and leading the herd, the Padawan rises. As a TIE approaches, Ezra stands his ground, slices into its wing. In the interim, the ghost has recharged, and its cargo hold is filled with a much-needed fuel. The Pergil, meanwhile, head for the base, grab the leader, Yushin? Yeah, is his name. In its powerful jaws. He flails as the beast takes him down into the mist. Kind of terrifying.
Take that, mining our resources against the animals.
Yeah, take that. The battle over, the ghost takes off, destroys the refinery. Not sure why they did that.
Oh, yeah, they destroyed it, yeah. Well, they can just blow up everything, you know?
Yeah, it's like, we can't leave without having this cool explosion behind us, I guess. That's what it is. Also, they don't want the Imperials using that.
Okay, yeah, before we go any further, That's my question. Was the... I can't remember if the... Were they working for the Imperials or were they doing their own little thing? Kind of like bounty hunters type of thing. Oh, okay. Like
kind of like Concord Dawn. Just doing their own thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Ezra leaps from the Purgil onto the ghost. The beast wails a goodbye and joins its herd. And the majestic creatures are victorious against the brutal capitalists. No, I'm kidding. And then Ezra tells the crew that he could see what the Purgil were thinking. They use the gas to breathe and travel. The Astro is just one stop, like you said, in a long journey. Then the animal's tentacles begin to illuminate. Can it be, Hera says. One by one, they blast off into hyperspace, followed by the ghost, ready to return to the fleet.
I'm all for new creatures and new animals and new, you know, things in Star Wars canon, because it's always interesting, and we have to recognize that it's a big galaxy, and there's always more to discover. It's space. There could be space whales flying around into our space right now. We don't know what's out there.
Yeah, because, I mean, we could have undocumented creatures. We have cryptids on the Earth right now.
So
yeah.
What's out there? We don't even know what's in our oceans. We don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went on a tangent, but my point is, you know, I don't hate them. I don't hate the Purgil. I feel like this episode suffered to me plot-wise, and it wasn't a very strong... It's like one of those episodes you just watch for funsies.
Yeah.
but it wasn't, like, I feel like the stakes weren't really that high. Not, you know, they're like, okay. Well, I mean, I guess they froze to death. But, like, I feel like I said earlier, like, the Purgil got a lot of hate for just it not being
plot. Strong plot.
Yeah.
I think had the plot or the stakes been a little stronger, or maybe that could not have been stronger at all. Like, the way we get introduced to the TBDs, like, the whole episode wasn't surrounded around
right.
the TBDs. So I think had there been something else, now we learn why later, why there was a whole episode around the Purgil, but when you're an audience member and we haven't seen what happens later, it's just sort of like, okay, well, I would have been sort of okay with the Purgil had the entire episode not surrounded around them.
Yeah, the whole episode was about them, yeah.
Maybe there could be, like, a one-off of them doing another mission or something and then saying, oh, these Purgil, we just discovered that blah, 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 hyperdrive, blah, blah. I would have been fine with that, but
yeah.
To have the whole episode around them, I don't know. I'm a little bit torn on it.
What'd you rate it?
I think I gave it a 5 out of 10.
I gave it a 5, too. If we weren't on camera right now, what would you give it?
Probably a 3.
I'll cut that out. Okay. I'm kidding. We want to be truthful to people. It's not one of my favorite episodes. Mainly the pacing was a little bit slower to me, and I kept forgetting why they were there, like I said.
Yeah, I still don't know what the refinery was for, if it was for mining clouds on 36, or was it mining actual fuel for ships? Like, I don't, or maybe it was both. It seems like it would have been the Thalzine's gas, because Ezra says they're trying to hurt the Purgil because that's what they eat. Like,
yeah.
You know, it seemed like that's what they were mining, but I don't know. It's just, I sort of got a little confused in the plot.
Also, I wrote, sorry I interrupted you. Purgil helped them, but it makes me wonder if they just stuck to the plan originally, it would have been a shorter episode. If they had just blown up the gas, it would have just ended right there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
But also, I guess we can't, you know, we don't want to kill
animals. We don't want to kill animals on a show.
Yeah, true.
I will say, the other thing that, plot-wise, I didn't understand, I think Minock Manor, who has done some reviews of these episodes, mentioned as well, is why the Mining Guild just randomly fired on the ghost.
Oh,
and pulled
yep.
them into their business. There was no reason for them to fire on him. Because you fire on somebody, there's a chance that
they're going to fire back.
They're going to fire back or chase you to your location, track you, which they end up doing. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. Because if it was an Imperial, I would understand it. Because this is the ghost that they have been tracking. They know the ship. The Mining Guild's
kind of doing their own thing.
They're doing their own thing. Why would you randomly fire on a ship that you don't know who's on it? For all you know, the Empire can be on the ship.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. That's kind of, yeah.
So, I know why. It's, like, to pull them into the plot and make the exposition, make the plot move along. But I was just like, maybe I'm overthinking it. But it didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that point. Some of my favorite moments, like I said, there's really good animation sequences in this, like them falling through the atmosphere. Also, there's a scene where Ezra's on the bridge and underneath him you see the Purrgil. So you kind of get to see a size comparison of how big these things are.
Yeah. The banter between Hera and Kanan.
I was going to say that,
which we didn't talk about. It's basically when they're arguing about whether or not why she can't fire on him. And I think Kanan's in one of the turrets, the gun turrets. This is after the Mining Guild fired on them, I think. Something like that.
Maybe. I think so, yeah.
And she cuts off the communication, and then he walks in and finishes his thought in the little bridge or whatever of the ship. But yeah, that was really funny. Got to see them sort of banter. What did you think about Ezra's ability in this episode, since you're an Ezra fan?
I thought it was interesting. Like, that, to me, the most interesting part about this is we've already established that he has a very strong connection with creatures. And even with, like, little baby Pipey, there was a connection there.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a species, different species. The only part I found interesting of, like, Ezra's ability here, like, we didn't really learn anything new because we've already established that he has that ability. But the thing I did enjoy was where, even though it was weird, when Ezra and the Purrgil have that connection, he's able to actually literally communicate with it and tell the crew, oh, actually, this is why they were here. And like, oh, wait, you can actually communicate with, like, animals. Like, that, to me, that was interesting. But, yeah, I just wasn't feeling him. He was very strongly trying to protect these guys. And I don't know if it's because of that connection was established early on, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe he was just fascinated by him. You know, this is a dude that, or kid that, you know, hasn't seen much in his life. maybe that was a part of it. But yeah, I wasn't totally on Hera's side either.
No, I'm
like, they're just doing their thing. Just leave them alone. But when Ezra was literally, the plan kept changing because he was trying to protect these guys. I was like, what are you doing? Like,
that was before he even connected with it. She's throwing a lot of, I don't know what you call it.
You know if they're friend or foe, but also he's a kid, so.
Yeah, for me, it was just hard to grasp. Wait, there was an intelligence behind this? They're not just randomly floating around? Like,
yeah. I think out of this entire conversation that we just had about this episode, my favorite is that you think that they fart to leave at the end.
See, I didn't make that connection until just literally we were talking about it. So you're telling me they eat the gas, they fart, and then they go until they go into hyperspace. Like, that's...
Maybe they're not farting. Maybe that's what allows them to tap into that ability. Maybe. Something. I don't know.
But I have raised an important question, and we can cut this out if we want to. Can people fart in Star Wars?
I don't know.
What's the biology of a Purrgil?
Can you fart in space?
Yeah, can you fart in space?
They probably can, because they live in it. Yeah, but another weird episode, I think. I remember watching, like I said, I remember watching it in the part when, well, the first interest was, oh, cool, interesting. These are interesting creatures, you know. I'm all about the creature life. And then it got weird when, like, Ezra looked at it. And it was like, ooh, I'm like, what is happening? What is going on here?
Who ate some shrooms? This episode and the one before that. I mean... I'm just making a joke, but yeah, they are very kind of like hippy dippy kind of episodes. Like, you're on a trip.
Yeah, you are. Especially this one, the last one. Yeah, definitely some trip episodes.